warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage.
Father, we thy loving children lift our hearts in joy today, knowing well that thou wilt keep us ever in thy blessed way. Thou art love and thou art wisdom, thou art life and thou art all. In thy spirit living, moving, we shall neither face nor fall.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. And the topic of today's readings is the smile of God, joy, humor, harmony, and healing. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. So we'll start with the Bible from the Book of Psalms. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Proverbs. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Now we'll go to the book of Job. Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were truly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Oh, that I might have my request, then should I yet have comfort. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, and thou shalt be as the morning. Job answered and said, No doubt but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin, and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, my breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are ready for me. I have said to corruption, Thou art my father, to the worm thou art my mother and my sister. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose? By his sneezings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. Then Job answered the Lord, and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. After this Job lived 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. Now from the Gospels of St. Luke and St. Matthew, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and he came down with them, and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now finally, from Psalms and St. John. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and your joy no man taketh from you. And now from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. Health is not a condition of matter, but of mind. Nor can the material senses bear reliable testimony on the subject of health. Therefore, the divine principle of science, reversing the testimony of the physical senses, reveals man as harmoniously existent in truth, which is the only basis of health. And thus science denies all disease, heals the sick, overthrows false evidence, and refutes materialistic logic. By trusting matter to destroy its own discord, health and harmony have been sacrificed. What is now considered the best condition for organic and functional health in the human body may no longer be found indispensable to health. Moral conditions will be found always harmonious and health-giving. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor was accustomed night after night to go upon the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theater and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he had inhaled chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. A clergyman once adopted a diet of bread and water to increase his spirituality. Finding his health failing, he gave up his abstinence and advised others never to try dietetics for growth in grace. Mortal mind produces its own phenomena and then charges them to something else, like a kitten glancing into the mirror at itself and thinking it sees another kitten. We hear it said, I exercise daily in the open air. I take cold baths in order to overcome a predisposition to take cold, and yet I have continual colds, catarrh, and cough. When there are fewer prescriptions and less thought is given to sanitary subjects, there will be better constitutions and less disease. In old times, whoever heard of dyspepsia? Cerebrospinal meningitis, hay fever, rose cold. What an abuse of natural beauty to say that a rose, the smile of God, can produce suffering. The joy of its presence, its beauty and fragrance should uplift the thought and fear or fever. If a random thought calling itself dyspepsia had tried to tyrannize over our forefathers, it would have been routed by their independence and industry. Then people had less time for selfishness, coddling, and sickly after-dinner talk. The exact amount of food the stomach could digest was not discussed according to Cutter, nor referred to sanitary laws. Man's belief in those days was not so severe upon the gastric juices. Beaumont's medical experiments did not govern the digestion. damp atmosphere and freezing snow empurpled the plump cheeks of our ancestors, but they never indulged in the refinement of inflamed bronchial tubes. They were as innocent as Adam before he ate the fruit of false knowledge of the existence of tubercles and troches, lungs and lozenges. Human experience in mortal life, which starts from an egg, corresponds with that of Job when he says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." From a material source flows no remedy for sorrow, sin, and death, for the redeeming power from the ills they occasion is not in an egg nor in dust. An egg is an impossible enclosure for deity. Mortals must emerge from this notion of material life as all in all. They must peck open their shells with Christian Science and look outward and upward. A wrong sense of God, man, and creation is nonsense, want of sense. Mortal belief would have the material senses sometimes good and sometimes bad. It assures mortals that there is real pleasure in sin, but the grand truths of Christian Science dispute this error. Are we irreverent towards sin, or imputing too much power to God when we ascribe to him almighty life and love? Instead of tenaciously defending the supposed rights of disease while complaining of the suffering disease brings, would it not be well to abandon the defense, especially when by so doing our condition can be improved and that of others as well? Our proportionate admission of the claims of good or of evil determines the harmony of our existence, our health, our longevity, and our Christianity. If we concede the same reality to discord as to harmony, discord has as lasting a claim upon us as has harmony. We cannot deny that life is self-sustained, and we should never deny the everlasting harmony of soul simply because to the mortal senses there's seeming discord. It is our ignorance of God, the divine principle, which produces apparent discord, and the right understanding of him restores harmony. Truth will at length compel us all to exchange the pleasures and pains of sense for the joys of soul. Man is not a pendulum swinging between evil and good, joy and sorrow, sickness and health, life and death. Life and its faculties are not measured by calendars. Man is by no means a material germ rising from the imperfect and endeavoring to reach spirit above his origin. Man is the expression of soul. The Indians caught some glimpses of the underlying reality when they called a certain beautiful lake the smile of the great spirit. Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Mortals will echo Job's thought when the supposed pain and pleasure of matter cease to predominate. They will then drop the false estimate of life and happiness, of joy and sorrow, and attain the bliss of loving unselfishly, working patiently, and conquering all that is unlike God. Become conscious for a single moment that life and intelligence are purely spiritual, neither in nor of matter. The body will then utter no complaints. If suffering from a belief in sickness, you will find yourself suddenly well. Sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth, and love. A little girl who had occasionally listened to my explanations badly wounded her finger. She seemed not to notice it. On being questioned about it, she answered ingenuously, "There is no sensation in matter." Bounding off with laughing eyes, she presently added, "Mama, my finger's not a bit sore." Willingness to become as a little child and to leave the old for the new renders thought receptive of the advanced idea. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear. This disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. Outside the material sense of things, all is harmony.